We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Now I've got a replay of the Pirates game right in front of me from last night. And incidentally, Ron, the ratings the other night for the Pirates game were very good, just below regular season levels for an exhibition game in an empty stadium against the Indians. And I saw where the White Sox had their highest rated game, television, since 2012. Any kind of game, regular season, spring training, whatever, since 2012. I think when this thing gets cooking for real, that the Pirates and virtually every other team are going to see just astronomical ratings. I do, based on early returns, and I think nationally that's absolutely going to be the case with Scherzer and Cole opening the season Thursday. And I think with a lot of this, because I think most people who love sports have just been starved for this, really. And I'm among them. I didn't even know how badly I was jonesing for it till I actually saw it again. I think that's going to be the way of it with TV ratings. You?
Oh, yeah, I absolutely do. It takes a little time to get used to it, though, I'll tell you. It's so funny. After the game the other night, the first one Saturday night, I watched the Cleveland Indians dugout. You know, Terry Francona is one of my favorite people in baseball, and I watched what he did after win, and they were like fake high fives, fake fist bumps, fake handshakes. It was almost comical to see him do it. So I sent him a note the next day, Sunday morning. I said, Terry, I said, I've never seen anything like it. And he writes back right away, goes, Ron, that's the understatement of the year. He said, it was so weird to be a part of it, but they want to play. They want to play. They want to be paid. There's no doubt. But playing ball is what they do, and they want to get out there. And if it takes a little while to get used to it, it's going to take a little while to get used to it. I noticed something last night. When I was at the game Saturday, I wasn't watching the TV that much. But last night, I saw a whole bunch of guys still spitting, Joe. They can't help themselves. That's just ingrained in them. So there were a whole bunch of guys still spitting last night.
Oh, there were protocol violations all over the place, and I'm not calling anybody out for that. I'm guilty of them. As I just said, when I read your Bob Walk column, I'm like, wait a second. Am I doing that right? Am I doing this right? I take the mask off and put it on the kitchen table when I get home. Is that a good idea? All of this. But Francona had the mask over his mouth but not his nose. You had guys spitting, high-fiving, all kinds of things happening that are probably against protocol, but like we've been saying for a while, if you sign up for this thing, you're not going to be following protocol all the time. It's not going to happen in sports. It's just not.
Yeah, I mean, these guys are so used to spitting and that sort of thing. And it's not going to just change overnight. And I think everybody realizes that they're trying to do the best they can with it. And that's all you can do. You're not going to throw anybody out for spitting. It's going to take some time to adjust, Joe.
The only time I noticed last night the lack of a crowd was when Josh Bell struck out with the bases loaded. That was my first weird baseball watching moment, because nothing happened. That was like a huge moment in the game, if it were a real game, and all you got was the regular. There was sort of a steady stream of that fake crowd noise, which I actually like. It registers with my brain that, okay, you know, it makes it seem like there's a crowd there. But wow, when that happened, that was flat out weird. And I think there's going to be a lot of moments like that. And I think they're going to be even more prevalent, way more prevalent in hockey and football than they are in baseball. Because frankly, I'm looking at it right now. The third base camera angle that shows the pitcher from the side with a bunch of empty seats behind him, that's not that unusual of a sight in baseball, to see a lot of empty seats in various ballparks. It's not jarring to see that. But when you have a moment like a guy striking out with the bases loaded and the game on the line in whatever it was, seventh, eighth inning, and virtually no reaction, then it's a little weird.
Yeah, it definitely is. And, you know, we talked earlier, there's just no way you can hide the empty seats. You just can't do it. We talked about how, you know, maybe some of these production people were going to do their best to try to hide the empty seats, but it's pretty hard to do that. And as you're right, I think it's going to be more noticeable in football and certainly in hockey. The indoor, you know, hockey, I think, is going to be much more noticeable than it is in baseball.
But they are getting creative, and I think they'll get more creative when the season starts. I didn't mind the cardboard cutouts the other night. That, to me, is preferable to the empty seats.
Like, I didn't see that. Which game was that?
That was Angels-Dodgers the other night, and in a couple of others I've seen, and people are starting to pay for these things to yep. have various messages on these cardboard cutouts. Somebody told me, I think Gentile was on with me yesterday, said somebody paid for a picture of their dog behind home plate, like $5,000 in one of these games for that prime Pompiani spot right behind home plate where we see him from to time. I mean, who's hurt by that? Nobody.
Nope. And if somebody's willing to pay it, why not? You know, teams looking to try to make revenue. If somebody's willing to buy that, go for it. I have no problem with it. I didn't see that game, so I'll be eager to see, you know, what that's like when I first see it with a Pirates game.
I think with baseball, with the camera angles, it's impossible to avoid the empty crowd seats. I think in hockey, you can manipulate it in such a way to make it way more rare. But I'm curious to see what it's like. It's going to be way different watching playoff hockey, where a crowd is so much a part of the atmosphere, and not to have any fans there. That's just going to be far different than what I'm looking at right now, which is Pirates-Indians with empty seats. It's just, it's not going to be the same. I had a couple people weigh in yesterday and wonder how it will affect the athletes, especially in that kind of heightened situation of playoff hockey. Do you think it does? Do you think it will?
Well, you know, I think different guys are going to react differently to it. You know, I listened to Joe Musgrove after the game the other night. He pitched, looked really good again. That Cleveland lineup is terrific, by the way. I thought he looked really good against it. And afterwards, he said, you know, for me, not having a crowd there wasn't that big of a deal. He says, because as a pitcher, you're locked in on your catcher and the batter, and you don't even notice what else is going on. And I think that's definitely true for some guys. Other guys, probably not so much. So he wasn't bothered by it by the least. Other guys may, and especially in a big moment, they may be, you know, it may have some sort of impact on them. But I thought it was pretty cool, you know, him just saying, I really didn't notice a difference because I'm locked in on the batter.
What do you find most encouraging and discouraging from these first two Pirate games?
Well, I mean, again, I don't think the lineup is really good without Polanco in there. You know, I thought the outfield defense looked great yesterday. Dyson made a couple nice plays. Heredia, nice catch, nice throw in right field yesterday. I don't know who's going to get hits for this team. And then, obviously, the easy thing to knock is what the guys in the bullpen have done so far. I thought both starters, Williams and Musgrove, looked pretty good, looked ready to go. The bullpen, not nearly as much. We'll see how that plays out. Again, the Pirates have one thing going for them, a shortened season. You know, they have a chance to win a couple games early and hang in there. But then again, if you lose a couple games early, you get buried. But I don't think it's a very good team. I think the defense is going to be better. Obviously, Josh Bell looks like he's right on. Colin Moran has offered some you know, pretty good proof that he's going to be dangerous. You know, I like Brian Reynolds, but I don't know that the lineup is good enough without Polanco or even with Polanco, and I don't know that the pitching's good enough.
Was Tucker's catch a great catch, or did he make it look great?
That's an interesting question. I always said that about Andy Van Slyke. You know, he would make catches look routine that weren't routine. He just was so good out there that he'd make him routine. I'd have to watch that one a few more times before I could give you a definitive opinion on that. I thought it was a really good catch for a kid playing out there for the first time. But yet, I'm also going to look at it this way, Joe. It's not brain surgery. I mean, he's an athlete. He's been playing ball all his life. It can't be all that difficult for him to step into a new position and play okay. It is. He's an athlete. That's the number one thing. But I thought it was a good catch for a guy who really hasn't played out there. I don't know if I'd call it a great catch. How about you?
It was entertaining. You know, it was fun to watch. The path seemed a little bit odd to me that he took to the ball. I think it could have been maybe an easier catch. I'd have to look at it more myself, but that's my initial impression. I thought the Dyson catch early in the game was better. And I think he's outstanding defensively, and he'd be fun to watch out there.
Well, he's supposed to make those plays. He's supposed to make, just like Van Slyke, they're supposed to make the hard plays look routine, and the easy plays are a piece of cake. So, I think Dyson is good. He can steal bases. I don't know how much he's going to hit. That remains to be seen. But bargain basement pickup for the Pirates. Looks like he might be able to help them, just like last year Melky Cabrera did.
Musgrove and Williams had their moments. You wonder with all these guys going into this kind of season how long they're going to last in games, and that just puts more onus on the bullpen, and the bullpen looks like a raging disaster, Ron. It really does.
I thought both the starters looked good, though, Joe. I think they only went as long as they did because, you pair them back in the last start before the season starts. I can't stress enough, that Cleveland lineup, maybe a lot of people don't know the names, but they're very, very, very good. And I thought Musgrove in particular looked good against them, and I thought Trevor Williams looked pretty good last night, too.
Oh, I agree. I just think in this season in particular, and really baseball at large right now, I mean, six innings is the old eight, or eight is the old six or something.
Yep.
I don't know. These guys aren't going to go beyond six innings, I don't think, in the majority of their starts. So who's in the bullpen right now that you have confidence in? Nobody for me. Not one guy. You?
No, I can't argue with that. No, I can't. Santana they were counting on, and certainly Kella they were really counting on. And it's a big setback for them. And, we'll have Derek Shelton on tomorrow. I'm sure we'll be asking him about that. And I know he's going to say, hey, it takes some time. You got to give these guys a chance. Just like early in the real spring training where the first couple results you throw out, but you can't afford to throw them out now when the season is so short.
Coming up next, Bob Walk is going to join us in person. Ron wrote about him today and his battle with COVID and how it's going well, recovered now, but really a sort of a harrowing story. And Bob will be on next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.